Pandemonium reigns.
It was the season what could have been. Florida State football. Brand new face. Lots of new faces. Jordan Travis. Keon Coleman. Trey Benson. Jared Verse. Brandon Fisk. Johnny Wilson. They all have something in common. They're no longer in Tallahassee, and they have elite talent. And they gone.
Deuces.
This is Pandemonium Reigns. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. I'm Dan. He's Mike. We're here to talk the 2024 Florida State Seminoles. Cue the war chant. I can already hear it now, man. It's one of the icons of this sport. I know the Braves listeners are about to hate what I'm about to say, but the chop is not yours. It belongs to the Seminoles. It only feels right. Like, there ain't no Indians in Atlanta. Like, that's industrial and it's city. It's just not happening. They're definitely where the crab legs are, and the icon himself, Jameis Winston, the national treasure. So we're going to get into this. Before we do, want to say that this episode has been brought to you by one of our sponsors. So let's say hello to our friends at Live Oaks Landscapes. And Paul Pruitt, he does commercial and residential lawn maintenance, rental lawn maintenance, weed control and prevention, mosquito and gnat spraying and treatment, landscape design, patio installation, fire pits, paver and flagstone patios, fireplaces, retaining walls, leaf removal, irrigation installation, commercial builds. And he's all over the coming area. If you're in the North Georgia area, hit up my boy, Paul Pruitt and Live Oaks Landscape, 678-591-9802. Appreciate, proud sponsor of the podcast. But here we go, Florida State. And it's a lot like Auburn, my boy, in the sense that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So bring on the war chant, bring on the tomahawk chop, and put Florida in their grave.
Yes, this one is stronger for me than Auburn. I know you feel really strongly about Auburn. And I fully subscribe to the enemy of my enemy theory. But this one is so much stronger for me. They're not in my conference. We beat them for a natty. the list kind of goes on. They gave us Jameis Winston, famous Jameis himself.
Yes.
I love these guys. I love their resurgence. That was a joke what happened to them last year.
Yeah.
One of the most rigged results we've seen in college football's existence, especially of late. So ridiculous. But I love these guys. Needless to say, I'm here for their resurgence all the way. And I'm excited to talk about them because this roster's turnover, man. Boy, in some ways it's comparable to Tennessee's turnover last year, going from what we put into the league after 2022. I think it's a little bit stronger because there's feels more spread out. Or maybe there's just a few more pieces. I don't know. Or maybe it's just recency bias, and we're just 1 year removed from theirs and going into year two for Tennessee after those guys. But I'm excited to talk about them nonetheless.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you're dismissing Florida State because of all those names that I mentioned, well, they're gone now. Look at all they lost. Well, Mike Norvell is like a portal wizard, and he's done it again. The portal has given more than it has taken. The names that have departed, I'm not going to say they're of significance, but I will say affordable in their loss. And they pick up names like, just want to talk about just a few of these. Marvin Jones Jr., edge rusher out of Georgia. He's going to draw a lot of attention. Okay. Big dude. Roy Dell Williams out of Alabama. We know the consistency that he can bring. Now, he's not Trey Benson, but I think he brings a lot of experience and a lot of consistency. Then you get to name Malik Benson, receiver, Bama. Didn't quite pan out in Tuscaloosa as a lot of us thought it would, but Norvell does this thing in the portal where he gets the most out of these portal guys. So we're going to wait and see. And then you got this interesting, one of the most interesting incoming portal guys out of LSU, wide receiver, Jaylen Brown. Dude is a track star with a lot of eligibility left. Okay. So going to add a lot of speed. And then finally, DJ Uiagalelei. I tried real hard to not mess it up, and I did.
And that's okay. And that's okay. The original, one of the original faces of NIL when it became legal, yeah. DJ U.
Yeah.
on, I would say, if DJ isn't the most one of the most inspired players entering this season, back in his original conference, hosting his former team that we'll get to in a minute when we talk about their schedule. If he's not one of the most inspired players in this season of college football that is to come, something's wrong there. And it might be eye-opening into, you know, some of the issues that DJ's had, but he went out west. He showed a lot of promise. Norvell is a guy that, just to cap on your point, he brings guys out of the portal, and then he gets everything that they have left out of them. He is he might be the true portal king if there is one, just to your point that you were making. I mean, he gets something special out of the portal and gets the most out of it. So that's why you have hope for guys like Malik Minson, like DJU, like the track star that you mentioned out of LSU. And then the big names, you know, the more known names, the Marvin Jones Jr., the Roy Dell Williams. I mean, he does things out of the portal with the best of them, like, you know, better than most everyone. So,
yeah,
absolutely a lot to like about the replacement top guys that they got out of there.
Yeah. I'm beginning to wonder what we're going to get out of DJU. You know, the Clemson time wasn't what everyone thought it was going to be, and a lot of the blame was on him, and then he departed, and Clemson continues to struggle. He goes to Oregon State, does pretty well. Totally different offensive scheme, though. A little bit more of a West Coast ground and pound. You know, Damian Martinez was in that backfield. Now he's at Florida State, and I'm going to break my own rule here, and that's not putting any stock into a spring game, but I thought there were some very underwhelming throws he made in that spring game. Could have been the turquoise jersey, which is just the traditional side of me, and that just irks me to pieces. But anyway, what DJU are we going to get? Who are we going to get? What are we going to get? It's his third stop in college football. He comes with a lot more experience than his time when he was with Clemson. He's going to have weapons. He's going to have he's going to have all the things. So by the time it's said and done, is it going to be a bunch of excuses? I would say either way, what's going to happen is, before we get into the schedule, what's going to happen is, regardless of what kind of season, let's say it's just a mediocre season, time will come for the combine and for pro day, and owners will salivate at his size and frame and personality and ability to throw at 100 yards. And, you know, they'll be like, DJU, Joe Milton threw an orange 100 yards. How far can you throw a banana? I mean, and they'll just, it'll be that stupid crap all over again. So he's going to get drafted. It's going to happen. All right. I just wonder. And I don't know that you can predict what kind of DJ you were going to get. I'm looking forward to it. I hope it's a solid one. I'm rooting for the kid.
Same.
I like Florida State here. So let's get into the schedule, man. It's a very interesting schedule. It's got a lot of undertones. I don't know if you picked up on that as you were preparing for this, but I'm looking forward to getting to this. We're gonna walk through this. We're going to talk floor and ceiling and just kind of navigate through this schedule. They're going to start off in Dublin, Ireland, playing Georgia Tech. And I just want to say before we begin, 2023, 7-6, Georgia Tech, who participated in a bowl game, Georgia Tech, who defeated Drake May's UNC, Georgia Tech, who came back and broke the hearts of Miami fans across the world, Georgia Tech, who is on the up. I don't care what you say, on the up. Brant Key has got this thing rolling in a really good direction.
Yeah, he is. He's doing one of the hardest things, you know, still reviving, you know, to an extent, Georgia Tech out of still, I mean, this is about how long it would take probably Nick Saban to bring you out of a triple option offense in today's day and age. You know, prime Nick Saban, I don't know how fast he could have done it. Now, with the transfer portal, that's, you know, whatever. But tough job. Brent Key's doing very, I would say, more than respectable with it. But to transition towards the outcome of this game, if you want to talk about conferences, shakeups, realignment, certain conferences dying, these trips to Dublin are killing the ACC. This is so dumb.
It's terrible. But
we'll talk about the game.
If there's one thing the ACC doesn't need to do, it's outsource their games to another country at this moment in time. You you're probably the next conference to go if it comes to it. So I yep. would not be doing this unless your thought is you're trying to generate viewership across the world. And I don't even know if that's the solution. Nonetheless, I don't like it. I don't like anything about it. But it's one of those for me where because it's on, you know, across the pond and Georgia Tech's got a lot of momentum, don't be surprised if it's top of the fourth and this is a three-point game, seven-point game, 10-point game, and I'm texting you going, you know how it is, Georgia Tech with the eye emoji.
Yes.
And yep, we both know what this means.
Yes.
I can see that being the case right here. Can see that being the case right here. So, but nonetheless, because of the talent gap, I'm going to give Florida State a win here.
That's exactly where I'm at. This is proof that in some games they could be played on the moon, but I'm with you. This will be probably a 3.5 quarter fight. Is three and a half quarter fight, I would say at minimum, because of what we've seen out of Georgia Tech. Who knows where teams are at week zero, especially with the distance factored in. Yeah, but talent gap, Norvell mainly, you know, his work in the portal, all that, 1-0, go the Noles.
Absolutely. It's a similar conclusion for me as you get to the Boston College game. You know, they struggled in this game last year. Castellanos gave them an absolute fit, but it was in Boston. Now it's in Tallahassee. I don't think we're going to see a replay of what you saw in the previous season. Give me Florida State and give me Florida State big, 2-0.
Yeah, it's time for them to really exercise some demons, I think, right here because of some of the struggles that Boston College can cause. Their coach, their previous coach, now the defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers because of the landscape of today's game. It wasn't worth it anymore. And I think that's something you could see. It'll be interesting to see Boston College, how they respond to that, knowing that was what their program is. All the same reasons, 2-0, go the Noles.
Yeah, for sure. Then you get this interesting game right after a bye week where they're going to host Memphis, where Mike Norvell previously was before taking the job at Florida State. The bad news is, man, the Memphis players got to be like, oh, man, he left us, right? We're going to go get him. Yeah. The good news is I don't think there's a Memphis player that knows or cares who Mike Norvell is. It's just been too long. I don't think it matters. Florida State, dub.
Yeah, Florida State, dub. Relatively easy, I think, even if Memphis is having one of those years where they might be the group of five or whatever team, you know what I mean? 3-0 Noles.
For sure. And then you get to a conference game. Hosting the California Golden Bears, Justin Ott, I can see giving some fits to Florida State, but one guy is not going to be able to win this game for them. Florida State, big.
Yeah, not over the team that Florida State is morphing into, the growth that we're seeing out of them. I'm with you. It's a dub.
Yeah. Then Florida State finally takes the road outside of the Dublin, Ireland game, goes on a true road game for the first time, traveling to Dallas, Texas, to take on the Southern Methodist University Fighting Mustangs. Do you know the undertone in this one? Did you pick up on this?
Not as much as the Memphis one, so no, I'm going to say no.
So Mike Norvell is from Irving, Texas, which is a stone throw away from Dallas. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gotcha.
Doesn't matter. Florida State.
I'm with you on the whole. SMU has played some of the most electrifying football over the last five. I don't think there's enough, even if there have been a team capable of throwing for like 600 yards a couple times in a season. I think they could do that probably, but I think that FSU is becoming the type of program to withstand that. I don't think their defense is going to be to that level. You know, they still bring back a Fentrell Cypress, even if they're figuring out. I've seen some concerns about linebacker and some other places on defense, but I think they're too much overall here again to continue undefeated start of the season before we get into some really fun matchups over the next couple.
Agreed. I do think that could be another Georgia Tech situation, though, where
could be
in Dallas, and it's, you know, somewhere between a – it's a one score game, you know, top of the fourth, you know, yeah, something like that. But I can also see the bottom falling out on them. All right, here we go. This is where it gets sticky. This is where it gets crazy, and I'm looking forward to this one. Florida State hosts Clemson. DJU faces his old team. This is going to be the headline going into this. All the conversation is going to be around DJ Uiagalelei and can he beat the old team and all that crap. There's a lot of what are my words here? You have to like Florida State because it's in Tallahassee here. Who's Clemson going to be? You know, we talked a lot about it. In the Clemson preview, I picked Florida State to win this game. I'm going to stay there. I'm going to stick to those guns. Florida State is on a roll at this point. They're cranking out wins. You got a real shot of going undefeated in the first half of your season if you can win this game, being 6-0. I'm going to stay here on Florida State.
Yeah, and I think I said the same when we previewed Clemson. I think I said, give me the Noles. And I still like them, regardless of what I said then. I like them more than I did a couple of weeks ago. I don't know exactly all the reasons why. I'm saying Florida State here. Maybe just the recency bias of Florida State's rise and Clemson's sort of decline. This should be a game where Clemson's thought about it for 365 days. Mm-hmm. The way that they lost this game, the things that they've let slide over the years, especially in a game like that last year, when Florida State had such a special season, you were right there with a chance to beat them, and you didn't.
Yeah.
All that said, I'm going to go with exactly what we're saying, undefeated. I believe 6-0 here at this point, and Florida State wins this game at home.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to know during this game if Florida State is on a tear, if they're still pissed off from what happened in the previous year with the playoff and all that stuff. I think Clemson's going to be the one to show us that.
Agreed. This should be the one. And just like you said, it's going to be amped up as if it's DJU versus 85 guys. It's the way it's going to be talked about. 1v Clemson. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm with you. Both teams should be mad about both different situations. I still like Florida State, and I agree with everything you just said.
Yeah. It would be neat if this game was in Clemson and, you know, DJU's return to Clemson.
Yeah.
That would make for an interesting headline. It would almost be like Brett Favre returning to – you know, Lambeau when he was a Jet or when he was a Viking.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Anyway. Yeah.
All right. So it continues to be interesting. They then travel to Duke after a bye week. So that's notable. And this game, I don't know if you caught this, this game is played on a Friday.
I did. Yeah.
So
freaking ACC, Duke, right?
Yep. Yeah. Right. And I don't hate that move by the ACC though. I like that. You're trying to gain the viewership. You want to be the only game on TV. I don't hate that.
Yeah.
Duke, a lot of buzz around Duke, especially when we opened up the season last year, you know, defeating Clemson 28-7, I think. But yeah. Riley Leonard's gone. Mike Elko is gone. In is Manny Diaz. And I don't know if you saw their spring. Did you see their spring game? Did you see this?
I did not. No, I didn't.
They didn't actually get to play a game. It was a lot of skeleton. It was a lot of you had the front defensively, but you didn't have the front offensively. There was just nothing there because they only have four offensive linemen.
Oh my gosh. You don't recover from that, do you?
I'm telling you. So why would you favor Duke in any of this stuff? And just while we're on the topic, this is another reason why the portal crap, you've got to set some boundaries on this when teams can't have a full spring game. They did a lot of one-on-ones and stuff like that, which the viewer wants to see. Like, I love that they're televising that kind of stuff now.
Yeah.
But if I'm Manny Diaz and it's my first year, I'm going, oh my gosh. I'm not trying to figure out who the fifth spot is. I'm trying to figure out who wants to play in the fifth spot.
Yeah.
And yeah. The portal's open and you're not, and I don't think they've got this resolved yet.
Dude, I'm not doing a spring game. I'm not doing any of that stuff. I'm doing a telethon in that ESPN Plus or ACC Network Plus time slot. You know, the phone lines are open. Call us with NIL donations. Call us if you are a prospective offensive lineman. I am preaching a sermon. I'm doing something outrageous because You need to add like eight. You need to add like eight at this point so you can have a respectable number for the shot of having a healthy offensive line at this point of the season.
It's bad. It's bad. I mean, I still have eligibility left. I should go do it. I mean, are they going to say no to me?
Yeah, I mean, I'm about that. I'm the weight I've added since then. I think I'm there. I think I can hold my own, especially in the lower ACC games and below.
Uh-huh.
Call me up, Manny. I'll take some NIL. I'll give you my number just right off the bat. You just tell me yes or no. We'll go from there.
I don't need four figures. I'm okay with three figures.
Yeah, man, and some meal plan, some health care. We're good.
Yeah, can I get a 24/7 nutritionist? Yeah, so I don't. Yes. I see no reason to favor Duke there.
Yeah, talk about no reason to favor them in any game. And, both teams have a bye week. Play it on the moon. Paint the field blue. We saw that on April Fool's Day. Do whatever you want to do. They ain't winning.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, so at Duke, now at Miami, which I believe – and Clemson's right there, but I believe this is probably the most intriguing game on their schedule. Old rivalry, big year for Mario Cristobal. This is probably his make or break year. It's now or never for him. He's in the Scott Frost Nebraska situation, and in is Cam Ward for Miami, who had a really great spring game, and there's a lot of buzz around him. I think they know what they're going to get out of that. They're going to have some. I almost said elite quarterback play. I don't know if I want to say that, man, but really good quarterback play. Out is Henry Parrish Jr. back to Ole Miss. What is this portal thing? So
garbage.
No, I'm going to need you. I don't have anything written down here. I'm going to need you to help me make a decision here on this.
All right. My decision is biased because of things that I've seen. It is biased because I've seen games be won and then lost by the time the clock strikes zero. I cannot, in good conscience, I cannot select Miami to win this game. It is at Miami. We know that's not an advantage. Until proven otherwise, that is not an advantage. They might as well be on the road or on Jupiter or something.
Yeah,
it's as simple as the issues that predate and have come along with Mario Cristobal. It is, like you said, it is a make-or-break year. I like the way that their quarterback room at least shapes up. I think you can get a lot more out of Cam Ward than you got out of Tyler Van Dyke at times, even though he's got a really high upside.
Yeah.
I can't in good conscience select Miami to win this game. There's just too many reasons not to. Starting and mainly going back to giving games away that are won with 99.9% win probability if you're looking at that feature on the ESPN app or whatever. I can't do it. They should give them a great game. They should push to beat them because you're building as well. You're doing some things better than have been done before you. If you're Mario Cristobal, I can't do it, man. We've seen them spend an NIL. We see them continue to lose games the way that they've lost games, whether it's fight, whether it's giving it away in the end. I just can't do it.
You know, I'm with you. You know, as you were talking, you put in my mind the thought of, it really comes down to the battle of Norvell versus Cristobal, and I'm going to take Norvell there.
Yep.
It's in Miami, but does that mean anything? I mean, the attendance is going to be the same as Dublin Ireland game, right? They don't have turnout.
It could be more Noles fans than it could be Hurricane fans. There's a great chance of that. In-state, I mean, Florida State's a big brand. There's certainly Florida State fans in Miami, there's Miami fans. There used to be everywhere. I don't know where they're at now, but they're not at games, and they're not making an impact at games. I mean, we saw last year they did deals where you come to the Texas A&M game, you get a ticket to another game on their schedule. It wasn't a great one, but you got another ticket to a buy one, get one deal. That sucks. I hate that they're in that position because we need them to be a factor in that state and in the sport. They're not right now. They haven't been. Yeah, a lot of it is as simple as what you just said, Norvell versus Cristobal. And he's done some, like I said, some things better than some of his predecessors, but it's just been a mess, and I can't ride with it.
That I can only imagine that stadium having an impact if Miami goes into this game undefeated.
That I kind of feel the same way, that their home crowd is going to be a front-running crowd, and I'm not convinced that they can get into this game undefeated, no matter what. And we've not looked at their schedule yet. You know, we've not done a breakdown of Miami. I'd love to do one before we get to this one, to the season.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I can't see it being a factor unless this is an undefeated matchup.
Yeah. Say Miami only has two losses on their schedule going into this game. I don't think the crowd's any different than what we've seen.
I'm with you, dude.
It's not impactful.
I'm with you.
It's
I'm just taking a peek right now. They go to Louisville the week before this game. I mean, Louisville's, again, talk about a program on the rise, doing some things well. Loved what they did last year, you know, in terms of getting back on track to where they had been at times. That's tough for Miami. It's a lot tougher than coming off of Duke at Duke with what we just laid out for them. I would be shocked if Miami rolls into this game undefeated and more shocked if they beat Florida State.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think you've talked me into
it. It might take Cam Ward being in the Heisman conversation at this point for me. Is as of today, it might take something like that. And yeah, I'm not saying he doesn't have that potential, but it's certainly not expected here in April.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. All right, and then they host, after traveling to Miami, they host a Drake Malus North Carolina squad, now led by Omarion Hampton, which if you don't know that name, Google it now because dude is a dog. I don't know if it's enough for Carolina to get this win, though. Florida State.
Too many – I'm going to say this. I'm going to say more impactful losses, you know, even if it's primarily Drake May. And North Carolina has been a minor quarterback factory with – you talk about Howell, you talk about Trubisky, Drake May. They've been a little bit of a quarterback machine, like getting guys into the league at least and playing some good college football. But it's more impactful for me, the aging Mac Brown versus what Norvell's doing right now. This was a win all the way for me, especially being at home. This was a win all the way for me.
For sure. All right, then you travel to South Bend, taking on the Fighting Irish. This is the one where I felt like I could confidently put down a loss for Florida State. Riley Leonard is now QB1 in South Bend. Again, it's in South Bend. Don't get me wrong. If Florida State can pull this out with what we know about them at this point in time, I'm not surprised. But they're not, I just can't put them down as an undefeated squad. I can see them splitting this. If they lose to Miami, I can see them beating Notre Dame. I think they're going to split this.
Yeah. But we talked all the reasons about why we think they're going to beat Clemson. There's a lot of reasons, and I think this is the most viable location for a loss in the regular season. It's Clemson, there's a chance. Miami, there's a chance. I think Notre Dame is going to be a really tough team. We talk about, like you just said, adding Riley Leonard. They've just been opening the door, bring in the hottest quarterback, close the door, roll with it. Hartman, we saw it. I love the transformation for them post Brian Kelly. This is a true toss-up for me. I thought I was going to catch you going Florida State win here and differing from you, but I'm going to go with you. It's not great back and forth, obviously, but I'm with you, man. I think this is the best chance for a loss in the regular season, and surely what Florida State lost has to catch up with them in the loss column at some point of the season. That's kind of my thought.
Yeah.
I think they've got all – and we'll get there in a minute, but I think they've got all the potential in the world if everything goes right, health – 12-0 is on the table in the regular season. But this, to me, is their best chance for a loss. I'm going to say that they lose this game.
Yeah, I'm with you. Then you turn around and host Charleston Southern. That's a win. You turn around and host Florida to end the season in the Sunshine State. For now, I'm going to take a Florida State win here. Florida did give them a little bit of a fight previously in the 23 season. But who is Florida? I cannot wait to talk Florida. Just too much uncertainty. I think they're going to be a little bit better. I mean, a lot of people are just wiping them off, which if I know you, you might be one of those people.
Well, I'm a little more scared of them than I was entering the last season, for sure. Okay.
And I think that's fair.
My questions for them this year have shifted more to the – and they had these concerns, but it's now more in the skill positions outside of quarterback. I'm sure they can get good enough play out of Graham Mertz or the freshman whose name escapes me right now, who's going to probably make a lot of hype. DJ Lagway. He's going to be very exciting to watch at some point. I'm going to hate every minute of it for the record. I'll throw that out there. They beat them in 2023 without Jordan Travis. They're going to beat them again in 2024 without Jordan Travis, whether it's DJU having a solid senior season, super senior season, whatever this is, or someone's taking the job. I'm sorry. I believe in Norvell over Billy Napier all the way.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'd totally forgotten about the absence of Jordan Travis in that previous game. Probably wouldn't have been as close. I mean, who knows? All right, so hey, before we get into ceiling and floor, I basically have them at 11-1, which I think you do as well. Is that right?
Yep, we were even. We were even on them.
Yeah, and something that we didn't mention going into it is they escape NC State. They don't play Syracuse. They don't play Wake Forest, and they don't play a good Louisville. Take with that what you will. They've added Cal and Southern Methodist. Whatever. It is what it is. It's a day and age. Anyway, I got them 11-1. Now, I think the ceiling for these guys is an undefeated season. I mean, if all things are clicking, absolutely. I mean, the schedule is favorable enough, right, for it to play into their hands. I will not be surprised if a win at Notre Dame. I think a ceiling is 12-0. I think a floor is a great floor at 9-3. You lose those games, Clemson, Miami, Notre Dame. I don't really think the other ones are in too much question. That's just me chalking up what I believe are the toss-ups and chalking them down as losses. 12-0 ceiling with a 9-3 floor. Man, I'd say that's pretty good.
All day, man. Give that to me all day. I'm going to say their floor is 8-4. Now, we didn't even talk about the possibility of them losing four games, and we just went through the schedule. I'm factoring in if DJU takes a step back or he reverts to his old self, he gets hurt along the way. Now, we know Jordan Travis's injury was a freak one against a no-name opponent. Something bad happens. You know, the ACC is – One constant of the ACC is that there's always like Boston College and Florida State last year, an upset, an almost upset, Duke over Clemson last year that we didn't see coming. Something like that happens because DJU's bad or he's hurt or he's not taking the step that we kind of expect Norvell and Florida State to provide for him. 8-4 is the floor. 12-0 is absolutely the ceiling. That's just, you know, maybe Notre Dame's not as good as we thought they're going to be or something like that. Riley Leonard doesn't translate there. Something's off with Notre Dame or Miami, and they beat Clemson like we're expecting them to. 12-0 is on the table. I fully expect this team to be in the 12-team playoff.
Oh, yeah, that was going to be my next question. Like, are they in the playoffs? But the record says that they have to. I mean, if they're going 11-1, 10-2, you can't leave them out twice, right?
No way. And you know, you were all over this a minute ago. They don't play Louisville. Wouldn't be surprised if they end up playing Louisville in the ACC championship game again or something. Oh, you know what I mean? Yeah. They're probably going to see them at some point. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that is the one break in this schedule is that they don't play Louisville or go to Louisville or anything like that. Just with the uptick that we've seen from them that I addressed a minute ago, yeah, man, I think 11-1, 12-0, it's what I expect, even if DJU isn't, you know, the best version of himself, whatever that is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, again, Florida State fans, we're rooting for you. You have the support of Tennessee fans worldwide because you hate the same people that we hate. We wanted you in the playoffs. We felt that you got robbed. We thought the system should have put you in, but there's no system. It's just an opinionated system. Man, the terrible podcasting right there. So. Hey, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. Thank you to our sponsor, Live Oaks Landscape, for bringing you this episode. Florida State football 2024. What is their ceiling? I got them at 12-0. Mike's got them at 12-0. What is their floor? He's got them 8-4. I got them 9-3. We both got them at 11-1 with a favorable schedule. Hey, thanks so much for listening. Make sure you hit like and subscribe. I'm Dan. He's Mike. This is Pandemonium Reigns. God bless. Go Vols.
GBO.
Pandemonium Reigns.